Raptors coming off a 93-92 win in Chicago last night. Josh Lewenberger, Raptors reporter in studio. I thought that was a great win. I noticed I was following you on Twitter. Yes, I thought it was a great win. I'll tell
you
why.
That's what I said.
I'll tell you exactly why. It's we lose sight of the back-to-back, yeah. Which is they're on the East Coast in Philly. That's an emotional game. It's a big game. It was a night game. They didn't play it tip-off at noon in Philly. You're going against the time zones. Chicago, they don't have stars. They're not a very good team, but they're a young team that you know is going to bring some energy.
They were on a back-to-back as well.
Uh-oh.
Okay. But Fred VanVleet doesn't play.
Yep.
Lowry's still trying to find his footing. And they found a way to win that game and stop the bleeding. They had lost three in a row. It would have been easy to say, well, you know, what are you going to do here? You're not going to win every game by 25 and shoot the lights out and be overly impressive.
Isn't that the spot where you're looking for them to come out and make a statement and say, all right, we're on a slide here. We're not playing well. We're just going to come out here and hammer this bad team?
Well, I think you just beat this bad team. That's what I'm saying. I think you find a way to win that game, and that's exactly what they did last night. It was not pretty. I'm not suggesting that you go to the Hall of Fame.
If you didn't watch the game, don't go back and watch it.
No, it was ugly. It was ugly, but they found a way to win that game.
The second night in a row where you sleepwalk your way through 3.5 quarters, wait until the 5-minute mark to flip on the switch, and it's like, you can get away with that against the Bulls, but the biggest takeaway for me in what was an uninspiring back-to-back is they're not good enough, they're not talented enough to live like that against teams at or above their weight class. And listen, I'm not knocking them. It's just the reality is they're not the Clippers, they're not the Lakers, they're not the Raptors from last year. They don't have Kawhi Leonard. I'm not saying they're not good or even that they're not great. They're just not talented in the same way that they were last year. So they can still be really good, and they were. They were 15-4, but they weren't 15-4 because they were better than all the teams they were beating necessarily. I mean, Philadelphia, great example of it. They beat Philadelphia at home without Lowry and Ibaka. They weren't the more talented team. They were 15-4 because they were outworking teams every night, basically from start to finish. And that's the way they've got to play now. They're so the margin for error is a lot smaller without Kawhi. So as long as they're playing really hard, they're going to do really well. But I think these last few games, if nothing else, should serve as a reminder that until they do that at a high level, they're going to have trouble beating teams that are good or better than they are.
Now, they were shooting a lot better than they were prior to this run, too. I mean, let's not forget the details. Like, last night, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, how much of this whole slump is that, Hayes?
Horrible. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know,
28% from three over the last four games.
Right.
And they were second in the NBA, 40% from three up until that point.
They were under 70% from the line last night.
Yeah.
Like, they just, shooting in general has been a bit of an issue, and it was last night, and yet they stayed in the game. They had a couple of big stops down the stretch.
Gutsy.
Gasol in particular. OG. Ananobi had his kind of Ron Artest type of night defensively. Factored into the game.
Norm had his Kobe fourth quarter. He's been doing that a bunch lately.
Right.
I guess he learned that.
I got no issues with that. I mean, would it have been great to win by 30? Maybe. But almost in a way, you if you're Nick Nurse, you're like, we got the win, but I've got something else I can hammer these guys on before a game tomorrow night that's going to be emotional. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Raptors, I think, to prove that, you know, it wasn't all about Kawhi. And if they had lost four in a row, especially to the Bulls going into that game, I think it factors into their mentality tomorrow night. I think that's why it was a significant win. And you move on to the game tomorrow night, and the game we've all had circled for a long time. And it's going to be all about Kawhi Leonard tomorrow night. But I've talked about this even since June when they won, prior to him leaving, that the other guys on the team have just never been given enough credit. Would you agree with that? Like, all you hear is it's Kawhi, Kawhi, Kawhi. It's like, well, Siakam played pretty well. Fred was spectacular.
Lowry?
Lowry closed game six. Like, that was Kyle's game. It wasn't Kawhi was the best player. They don't win a title without Kawhi. That goes without saying. But can we not show some appreciation for everybody else?
Yeah, I think especially over those last two series. Now, obviously, the Philadelphia series is fresh in my mind, having gone back and watched a lot of that and watched the shot like another 30 times over the last 2 days. It was a great series, but that was Kawhi lifting the team on his shoulders when, VanVleet was unplayable in that series, and Norm was having a rough one, and
nobody wanted to shoot.
Danny Green, yeah, I mean that was a really strange series. And I thought that would be a really good matchup for the Raptors against the Sixers, and it wasn't until Game One when you sort of look at it and you're like, okay, well, wait a minute, Philadelphia is really big, they're really physical. Now they're even bigger and more physical. Kawhi bailed them out big time in that series. Just a historically dominant 7-game series for Kawhi. But after that, against Milwaukee and Golden State, especially because that was after Kawhi tweaked the knee and was clearly not 100%. He still had some great games, but he had a few games where he just didn't look like himself. And all of a sudden, Van Vliet has his son, and then turns into Steph Curry.
You're right about that's the craziest story. I don't know, in recent memory in Toronto, where a guy goes from like, I was thinking myself watching the game, they should play Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
To now he's like, now we're talking about him, maybe he should be an all-star. That's like
maybe a
max player. Like, that's insane.
And then Siakam picked them up. Lowry, people forget about this too, playing with 9 fingers. He had his thumb issue that was really bad in the Milwaukee and Golden State series. He says that he couldn't even feel his thumb in those games. And he shot over 40% from 3 against Milwaukee, pretty close to that against Golden State as well. Had some big games. So you're absolutely right. And I mean, they're proving it now, these guys without Kawhi playing in those expanded roles. And they said it from the get-go. I mean, Serge was insulted. Probably more than the rest of those players. I mean, some of them are trying to dance around it and, oh, no, no bulletin board material, no chip on our shoulder. But Serge was insulted before the season that there were people that weren't picking them to make the playoffs. So, yeah, I think they do sort of relish this opportunity to show that it wasn't just Kawhi, that they are NBA champions as well, and they're NBA champions for a reason.
Are you expecting anything outside of the norm tomorrow night? Like, Kawhi's going to be presented with his ring at 6:45.
You think he's going to cry?
Well, we're not even saying that. Jonas is trying to break loose the whole room. Yeah, he wants statues or some sort of, you know,
banner or something.
Something to commemorate Kawhi Leonard.
For tomorrow.
Tomorrow night would be the night to do it.
No. I know.
Yes, it would be the night.
You think so?
I don't think they're going to do it, but if they're going to do it, you do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I guess so, because when else would you do it?
Yeah, you're not going to get it the second time. He may not play ever again.
Well, statue. We would have noticed if they're making a statue outside of that building. They're not just going to pop
that overnight. They're just going to wheel it up.
Well, the jersey retirement is that's the bold move. That's the mic drop. Thank you, Kawhi. 2's going up into the rafters.
I don't think that's happening tomorrow or ever. I don't think they're retiring his jersey. The statue I could see happening at some point, and I'd be cool with that. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, they're leaving themselves, as far as I understand, they're leaving themselves 4.5 minutes for this ring ceremony. I'm using ceremony in air quotes because it's not even really a ceremony. As far as I understand it, they've asked that fans be in their seats at 6:45. Nothing's happening at 6:45. They just want to make sure that people are there and not just strolling in late. Whatever's happening is happening just after 7 o'clock. And it's going to be a video presentation. I think they're going to have the returning players present the ring. Kawhi will, I don't know, wave to the crowd.
I don't think he's going to speak.
Maybe smile. I don't think he's going to, hey.
You think he'll smile?
I mean, he's getting a ring that's pretty expensive, and it's a championship ring. He'll be happy. I mean,
but what did he say after he showed that rare emotion after hitting the only buzzer beater in Game 7? He said, I only show emotion when I do something I've never done. He's gotten a ring before, so I don't know. Maybe it's just not a big deal for him. I'll just take it, look at it. It's huge in general. It would be like the size of my fist. I've worn the thing. For him, he's just going to like pick it up, look at it. Oh, yeah,
okay. It's a pebble for him.
Yeah, and then move on.
Well, he's going to have to give it to somebody and go play.
He's not going to play with it?
Shockingly, he's not allowed to do that. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect tomorrow night. I'm bummed out. I'm not going to be able to get down there because we're on the air until 7.
I'm really excited for the Patrick Patterson tribute, personally.
Yeah, I guess. Is this his first game back?
Or no.
No, he's been back before, yeah. But I got to think Danny Green, they're here later in the month, right? When's L.A. here?
I'm not sure.
I thought the Lakers were here in December as well. I'll look that up, but I don't think Danny's getting email, be in your seats at 6:45.
He'll get a video, though.
Probably. Oh, he'll get a video, and he'll deserve that video.
And he'll show more emotion than Kawhi will.
He'd be more likely to talk.
And yeah.
If you gave him a mic, I don't think he's ever turned down the opportunity to speak to a crowd.
No.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Green spoke when he returned. Josh Limburger, Raptors reporter in studio. What are you hearing on Van Vliet? Like, what, in terms of a timeline and...
I don't think it's that serious. I think it's been a precautionary thing, which is good news, obviously. Even after they pulled him out of that game in Philadelphia, he was on the bench. He didn't have ice on the knee. It sounds like he tweaked it. He originally banged it in the Houston game. And then he played through it against Philadelphia, thought he'd be fine. I guess realized once he was out there that it wasn't responding the right way and just thought, listen, it's early December. Play it safe. And that was the decision they made last night as well, which was probably the right decision. Maybe a tough sell because I know Fred loves playing in Chicago just around the corner from his hometown. He's had some huge games there as well. But again, he's a smart dude like Kyle Lowry. It's like they're competitors. They want to be out there, but they get it. That said, Wednesday night, ESPN. Clippers, Kawhi, I wouldn't be shocked to see him out there tomorrow, especially given that I don't think this is a serious long-term thing. Maybe it's something that he deals with nagging injury for a little while that they have to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out long-term.
Yeah, if it's a contusion, I mean, I don't know if you're going to injure that any worse than it already is.
Isn't that just a bruise?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's a fancy word for a bruise.
How come they just don't say bruise?
I don't know. It's the medical term, and you've got to be on the straight and narrow.
They were calling OG's eye injury an eye contusion. I'm like, how do you bruise your eye? Yeah. What is happening?
You got poked in the eye, man. Yeah. Just speak openly and honestly. Let's go blue collar on these injury reports. Poked in the eye, can't play. Right? Bruised knee.
Bell rung.
May not be able to.
Hey, it beats upper body and lower body injuries. Yeah, so at least there's that.
100% valid. Marcus Gasol, again, defensively, he stepped up countless times all year. Offensively, it's been a mess, but I don't think anyone should be surprised by that. He's 35 now, I believe, and he's played more basketball in the last 12 months than he would have when he was 25. Like, this screams, you got to let him find it, man. I don't have any issues with where he's at. I prefer if he was, you know, more of an option. But I think by the end of the year, he'll probably get there.
Well, and isn't the three-point shooting, it's relatively new for Marc Gasol. Like,
and he's shooting the three ball well, actually. Yeah. I think he's around 40%. He's shooting like 20-something percent from inside the arc. It's been a very bizarre year, especially offensively for Gasol. But, I mean, he was never a great post-up player. He's not like your big that you're going to dump the ball down to and he's going to back you down and post you up. And, and then as you get older, that's falling off.
Well, it's more difficult to fight through.
Right.
I mean, to really, and he did last night. He got pissed a couple of times last night. But I just, you know, the only reason why he might be involved in a trade discussion in the future is because of the cap hit. Because it would open up so much flexibility to make more moves. Right? Like, if you're going to get involved with a player of significance that might have a ticket, or you want to bring in a couple of pieces, he's got a cap hit at 25 mil.
Expiring deal,
right? Like, it wouldn't be ideal because it would take away a big piece in the middle. We had Sam in here yesterday. He's like, if you end up playing Philly, who's shutting down Embiid? Like, he terrorizes Embiid.
Maybe you look at Ibaka.
Well, but then who's coming off? He's your sixth guy coming off the bench. I mean, there.
I guess who are you
trading
for? A
lot of different ways you can talk. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who's available, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But if you want to make an impact trade, you're not trading Chris Boucher to make that happen.
But you're going to have to trade, like, important young pieces, aren't you?
No, but I'm saying from a cap perspective, they're up against it. They don't have flexibility.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, in any potential trade, we know they're not taking any salary past
2021,
next
season. Yeah.
So maybe you're trading for a guy either on expiring deal or a guy that has one more year left on his deal. But we can say with some certainty they're not taking back significant salary or maybe any salary past the summer of 2021. So that's the first thing, is who's available. First, who's available at all, and second, who's available that fits that criteria that could help you. I think we're looking at a pretty short list, and then, yeah, you have to look at that and, like, can you afford to lose Serge Ibaka based on how well he's playing and how much he's propping up the bench? Can you afford to lose Marc Gasol? And right now, and I don't care what his numbers look like or what he's shooting from inside the arc, right now the answer is probably no, because, and Nick made this point the other day, I'm not sure that there's a better defensive center in the NBA right now, which blows my mind. One, because the dude is, I think, 34 going on 35. And two is, even in his prime, he was a below-the-rim seven-footer. He's never been the type of guy that's going to block your shot or beat you down the court. He's not athletic. And yet, the IQ, the size, the physicality, just the smarts, the positioning, everything about what he does defensively. He rarely makes mistakes. He's never in the wrong spot. He's telling other guys where to be. He's such a great defensive player. And even as other parts of his game start to fall off now, if anything, he's as good as he was defensively when he won Defensive Player of the Year back, whatever it was, 5-6 years ago.
Josh Leuenberg, our Raptors reporter in studio, has got a new piece up on TSN.ca, The Shot, an oral history of Kawhi's most iconic moment as a Raptor, Game 7, at home against Philly. Marc Gasol was on the court for that. I saw Serge Ibaka, his quote in your article, saying that he, for a second there, he thought about going up there and getting it, and it probably would have been goaltending, and then they go to overtime, and who knows what happens in terms of the journey.
He told me they would have lost. He said he thinks they would have lost if they went to overtime, which is great, because you got Nick Nurse telling me, oh, we were confident, we were in control the whole game, we would have won in overtime. Serge is like, no, we would have lost. Then you've got all these other guys. I think Nick also said it was Kawhi taking the shot. I had confidence it would go in, and Serge is like, no, I didn't think it would go in. I love Serge, man. Like,
me too.
Here's what I love about Serge Ibaka, though. Over the course of our conversation, 5 minutes ago, you said he was personally offended that someone could doubt the Raptors. Meanwhile, you've given two examples of where he doubted that Kawhi could hit the shot,
yeah,
and doubted that they could win in overtime. So he's allowed to doubt the Raptors.
He's allowed.
Okay, I see.
He's the Mafuzi chef.
He, 2 years ago, wouldn't even speak to us. Like, he would just come and go, and we didn't know anything about him other than he occasionally punches dudes. But somehow, within the last 2 years, he's transformed from that to, like, the most interesting man in the world.
I think it's the show.
It's probably the show.
He's
come out of his shell.
I haven't watched a bunch of them. He is...
he's funny.
He's great. He is. He's great. I mean, you understand it. English is not his first language. It's uncomfortable for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But...
he was the MVP of that piece, man. He stole the show.
Yeah. Okay, find it on TSN.ca. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow night. Again, the Raptors at home against the Clippers. You can hear that on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN tomorrow. Kawhi Leonard making his return back to Toronto. Josh, you'll be down there. We look forward to it. And thanks for joining us in studio.
Thanks, guys. I'll tell Kawhi you say hello.
Yes, please do. I'm sure he'll be very impressed that Jonas Siegel from The Athletic.
He's a big Overdrive fan.
Is he?
Probably.
I'll bet you he has no idea who we are.
I bet you he has no idea who I am. I covered him for a year. I bet you he has no idea who anyone in San Antonio is. They covered him for like 8 years.
Right. Maybe and the Clippers. You know he's not following anything there either.
Maybe he knows more than he lets on.
He could. It's deceptive. I mean, he's probably seen us on TV on mute. He probably never cares about what we have to say, but I'm sure he's been in a restaurant at some point.
Does he own a TV?
Yeah. That's why he goes out to eat.
Yeah.
Kawhi and dine. Josh Leuenberg, a Raptors reporter.